All right, welcome back, everybody. We are going to conclude our discussion of the Isser Achila on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, our sugya at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. So we left off last time, concluding our analysis of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi that we find in Pesachim Tzaditais and Mibbeis Takuf Amud Aleph, where the Braisa tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a prohibition to eat from Samach L'Mincha and onward, 3 o'clock and onward, before every Shabbos and every Erev and every Yontif. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, that prohibition exists only on Erev Pesach, but before Shabbos and Yontif, there is no such prohibition. Okay, we discussed at length what the root of the dispute might be between them. We discussed some ramifications of the approaches that we take to that root of the dispute between them. Tonight, I would like to get into a related topic, which is another sugya that we found in Shas, in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches, which on its surface seems to present a problem, a little thorny issue for us in light of the sugya Pesachim Daf Tzadites, and analyzing these two sugyas together is really what's critical for understanding the Halacha L'maisa. So let's first try to analyze the sugya, what looks like an apparent contradiction between the two sugyas. And from there, we will work through the Rishonim, different approaches to it. We'll try to glean whatever we can for our conceptual understanding of the Isor Achila, or the lack of Isor Achila. And then from there, we will end off with some Halacha L'maisa. So let's begin like this. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, source number 1 on your sheets. Amar Rabba, Bahani Tlas Mili Nachte Balabatim Minichseihon. Ah, that's what, Brian, that's why you were saying Balabatim. Okay, so for an account of these three things, people lose money. Demafke Avdai Hu Lecherusa, if they free their slaves, Vidasayu Nichseihu Bishabasa, and if they're keeping track of their nechasim, of their possessions on Shabbos, Vidikave Seudasaihu Bishabasa Beidon Beimidrasha, and if they hold their meals on Shabbos during the timing of the Beis HaMedrash, meaning on Shabbos there was a time where everybody would go to learn. If they eat instead of learning at that time, so that's a problem. Damar B'chia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. B'chia Bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei Mishpachos Hayu Birushalayim, Achas Kava Seudasa Bishabasa V'achas Kava Seudasa Be'erev Shabbos Ushtehen Nekru. So you have there were two families in Yerushalayim, one of which held its meal on Shabbos and another of which held its meal on Erev Shabbos, and both of them were uprooted. Both of them suffered negative consequences. Okay? For our purposes, we're not going to go through all the other cases in the Gemara. For our purposes, what's going to be important is this mishpacha that was Koveh Suda on Erev Shabbos. Because the clear implication from the Gemara is that it is a negative thing to do to be Koveya Suda, to have an established meal on Erev Shabbos. That's why it led to negative consequences. So the question, the obvious question from this Gemara, is how does the Gemara in Gittin, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, how does that relate to the Gemara in Pesachim on Tzadites Amud Beis? After all, the Gemara in Pesachim quotes Rabbi Yossi, who says that there's no Isser Achila before Shabbos and Yontif. And we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So if we paskin, almost already shown him say that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So if we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that there's no Isser Achila on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, you could eat all the way up until Shabbos and Yontif. You don't have to stop at 3 o'clock. So then what was the problem with what this family did by being Koveya Suda on Erev Shabbos? That seems like a contradiction. Everybody clear on the question? Okay, so this question was, it's not my question, the Rishonim asked this question themselves, and they all give different answers. So the easiest way to wiggle out of this contradiction is to adopt Rashi's first approach to the Gemara. And that's basically to say that we misunderstood the Gemara. We thought that the family was having a meal on Friday. Really, the family was having a meal on Friday night. That's what the Gemara was talking about. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says in Gittin Lamed Ches Amud Beis Be'erev Shabbos B'Leilei Shabbos. This family was Koveya Suda on Friday night, on Leil Shabbos, the night of Shabbos. Now, what was the problem? Ve'ein Kan Kavod Shabbos. Because they held their extravagant meal on Friday night, there was a lack of Kavod Shabbos, of honor for Shabbos. The Kaimalan, Kavod Yom, Kodem, the Kavod Laila. We're going to see this sugya later on in the year, Bezat Hashem. So the Gemara Pesachim says that the honor that we give to the day of Shabbos should be greater than the honor that we give to the night of Shabbos, meaning Kavod Yom takes precedence to Kavod Laila. But this family did the opposite. This family, they held their larger, more festive meal on Friday night instead of on Shabbos day. So they switched the order. Now, they had positive intentions. They did this because they wanted to have more time to learn on Shabbos day. But nonetheless, Rashi says, Rashi's explanation, according to the Gemara, nonetheless is saying that nonetheless, this family should not have done so. Even though they had positive motivation, positive intention, nonetheless, they should not have flipped the priority of Kavod Yom and Kavod Laila. Now, if that's the case, Chevra, so then there just plainly is no contradiction. The Gemara Pesachim, Daf Tzadites, is talking about eating on Erev Shabbos, and the Gemara in Gittin, Laman Ches, is talking about Friday night versus Shabbos day. So according to that explanation, what would seem to emerge is that there's no problem whatsoever with eating on Friday afternoon. You could eat whatever you want on Friday afternoon, and you come up to Shabbos, if you're still hungry, you have a meal on Friday night, like we saw last week, the Ran said. If you're not hungry anymore, if it's going to be Achil Gas, or you're just not hungry, you can't stomach it, so you won't have the meal that night, you'll have the meal the next day. That's what would seem to be from Rashi. However, Rashi's second Peirush, and the weakness with that Peirush, just to note, the weakness with that Peirush is that it lav davka's Erev Shabbos, right? The Gemara said that one mishpacha was ne'akar. Why? Because it had its meal on Erev Shabbos. So when we think of the words Erev Shabbos, we think of Friday. We don't think of Friday night. We don't think of Leil Shabbos. Erev Shabbos means prior to Shabbos. Means on the eve of Shabbos. Right? So that's a major weakness with that approach. Probably what motivated that approach was that Rashi was aware of the Gemara Pesachim Tzadites. And he saw that there was an apparent stira, so therefore he had to reinterpret what Erev Shabbos meant. Okay? The second approach says, no, let's stick with the plain, literal meaning of Erev Shabbos, the eve of Shabbos, and instead we'll offer a different resolution. So Rashi says, V'ika de mefarashe be'erev Shabbos mamish, it really means Erev Shabbos, Friday. V'chein b'chol yom me'rov osher, this family was so wealthy that it had a festive, extravagant meal every day of the week, not only on Friday. Avol be'ha mi'a'ika isura. On Friday, when they held this meal, there was an isser to do so. There's no isser to do so on Sunday or Tuesday, but there's an isser to do so on Friday. Why? Sheyikonis l'Shabbos k'shehu savei abalo taiva. Because by having this extravagant meal on Friday, that is going to cause him to be satiated and enter Shabbos without any taiva. Yeah, now that was the problem. Now, if that's the approach that we take, Chevra, so then we have a steer. Yeah? Because in Pesachim Tzadites, we said that what? That Rabbi Yossi holds that you can eat all the way up until Shabbos. That's against Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah? Who held that you can't. Now, what was Rabbi Yehuda's Svara? Rabbi Yehuda's Svara, the Gemara said, was Kdei Sheikonis the Shabbos Keshehu Tava. So that he enters Shabbos with an appetite. So apparently Rabbi Yossi rejected that Svara. That's what we would have thought. Yeah? But Rashi here is saying that you're not allowed to have a meal on Friday because that's going to cause you to be satiated and take away your appetite. Isn't that just a total clash? Yeah? So we have to say something. We have to come on to some resolution between these two sources if we adopt the literal meaning of Erev Shabbos. Okay? So far what we've seen from the Gemara in Gittin and Rashi, the pashtos of the Gemara in Gittin is that it seems to contradict our Gemara in Pesachim. Rashi had one solution that we misread the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara really meant Friday night. It didn't mean Erev Shabbos, like the literal Erev Shabbos. We pointed out that the weakness with that approach is that Erev Shabbos seems to mean Friday, not Friday night. So if we do assume, like the simple understanding of the Gemara, that Erev Shabbos means Friday, and the Gemara is telling us that one should not have a meal on Friday, so how do we resolve that contradiction with the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Tzadites? So here we get to the Rishoni Sfarad, who offer a number of different resolutions for this stira. So let's begin with the Ramban. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and then he says on the second page, V'kashili. I have a question. We hold like Rabbi Yossi that one is allowed to start a meal even past 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. So if that's the case, what was the problem with what this family did in the Gemara in Gittin? V'yesh lomar. So approach number one of their Ramban. Hani mili pam achas mipnei atzorech. Aval lo'olam lo. Mishum dechim v'dachol yom v'yom avir hachi. Mechzei kemande mezalzel biyakar deshabasa. So the first approach in the Ramban is to distinguish between the frequencies of these meals that are happening on Friday. Says the Ramban, if you have a meal on Friday once in a while, it's a rarity, it's not something that's consistent, so then there's no problem. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Gemara in Pesachim, that there's no inherent issue with having a meal on Friday, and that's why if it happens once in a while, it's fine. However, if you have that meal every single Friday, so then, what's the problem, says the Ramban? Guys, explain the Ramban. What's the problem then if you have the meal every Friday? Brian? Can't hear you. Okay, Ilan? Oh, I'm so sorry. That was on me. Okay, sorry about that. Brian, go for it.
The Ramban uses the lashon to call Yom of Yoma. Of that we do like it be as every day.
No. Yeah. So then, what's the problem if you have it if you do it consistently?
It's not special.
It's not special for Shabbos. So the Ramban points out that you're being mezalzel on the kavod of Shabbos, right? Because instead of hosting that meal for Shabbos, essentially what you're doing it's almost ki'ilu you're making Friday into Shabbos, right? Instead of treating Shabbos the way it should be treated, you're treating Friday like Shabbos. So you are. You're making Shabbos tantamount to a day of chol. And that is a zilzul. That's a disgrace to the honor of Shabbos. Okay? So that's a very important approach. What you see from the Ramban is that when having a meal on Friday constitutes a zilzul, so then that's going to be a problem. Okay? So guys, let's pull out for a second. Okay? If we want to analyze conceptually, what is the distinction, what's the difference between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Gittin? So according to the Ramban's first approach, we would say as follows. The Gemara in Pesachim is talking about a positive kiyum. It's talking about a fulfillment, right? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I want you to enter Shabbos with an appetite. I want you to do something positive. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to do that. And the Ramban agrees. The Gemara in Gittin is saying, according to the Ramban's first approach, that even though, according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't have to do something positive, you can't do something negative. You can't cause a disgrace to Shabbos. You don't have to have an appetite going into Shabbos, but you cannot cause a disgrace to Shabbos. What would constitute a disgrace to Shabbos? Having a meal on Friday consistently, week in, week out. Okay? So that would be the distinction between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Gittin according to the Ramban's first approach. Ramban's second approach. Va'od efsher, shelo hayu ochlin mishatechshach, v'lo misadun shulchan. So the Ramban says here in the second approach that there's a whole different basis for what the problem was with what this family did by having a meal on Friday. And the Ramban says that since they had the meal on Friday, actually, what they did, they didn't even set up their table on Friday night. The Gemara says that one should set up his table on Friday night, even if he's only going to have a kazayis worth of food. It's a din in kavod Shabbos that one should set up his table. So the Ramban says here that since this family ate on Friday, they totally neglected the sidur hashulchan on Friday night. They didn't sit down at all. They didn't set their table whatsoever. Then the Ramban comments that nonetheless they must have eaten a little bit because they wanted to fulfill their mitzvah of Kiddush. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush, and we know that Kiddush b'makom suda, you have to have something to eat in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. So the Ramban says they must have had something to eat, but nonetheless they didn't set up their table. Okay. So the Ramban says that basically this family was kind of a side issue here, right? From the perspective of eating on Friday, there's no problem. No problem with eating on Friday. The problem is that if eating on Friday then leads to you not setting up your table on Shabbos, so then on Shabbos you're doing something wrong. Yeah? But Lu Yitzuyar, had it been that they ate on Friday and then they had another meal on Shabbos, what do you think, according to the second answer of the Ramban? Would that be fine or no? Second answer of the Ramban. Ethan says yes. Yeah, I agree, right? Because Ethan, in the second answer, he's not saying that there's anything wrong with eating on Friday, right? He's just saying that this family did something wrong by not being Mesader at Shulchan on Friday night. Yeah. So that's quite, first of all, that's notable, that's remarkable, because what comes out of there is that, again, like the pashtus of our sugya, that you can have whatever you want to eat on Friday, as long as you also set up your table and have something to eat on Friday night. Okay, so those are the two approaches in the Ramban. The first one to distinguish between a positive kiyum of kavod, that's the Gemara in Pesachim, versus a negative zilzul, a disgrace to Shabbos, that's the Gemara in Gittin. The negative is problematic, whereas the positive is not necessary. The second approach in the Ramban is to basically chalk up the Gemara in Gittin to a totally separate issue of whether the family was misader et shulchan and had something to eat at a set table on Friday night. Okay.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure, Moshe, yeah.
In the first answer, they came on to call Yoma, Yoma Abed Hachi. Is that referring to the time that they're eating?
I think it's saying that every Friday they would do that.
Oh, fine. So I'm saying, what makes it Mazalzel then?
So the fact that this family sets itself up to have a meal every single Friday lends the impression that they're treating Friday like Shabbos. Meaning they're supposed to have the meal on Shabbos, right? But it's the impression, the outward impression is that they're treating Friday the way the Shabbos should be treated. And if that's the case, then they are making Shabbos tantamount to Friday, right? They are equalizing Shabbos and Friday.
Got it.
Then, and if that's the case, you're treating Shabbos like a day of Chol. And if you're treating Shabbos like a day of Chol, that is a severe disgrace to Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
So those are the approaches of the Ramban. Comes the Rashba and quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel zal pirish, ha'yu kovin tzuda b'yom shishi, u'mitoch kach ha'yu nimno'in mili'ez asik b'tzorchei Shabbos. Oh. So says Rabbeinu Hananel, what was the problem with the meal on Friday? The fact that they did it in a way that caused them to what? To be distracted from Tzorchei Shabbos. Meaning they didn't prepare as well for Shabbos because they had this meal. So seemingly the distinction between the sugyas for Rabbeinu Hananel would be as follows. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about when you're eating in a way that does not distract you from your preparations for Shabbos. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about when you're eating in a way that does distract you from your preparations for Shabbos. Everything depends on whether your preparations for Shabbos will be affected or not. Yeah? Okay. We're going to see that's important when with respect to some halacha lemaisa issues, some other questions. But before we get there, let's continue going through all of the approaches in the Rishonim. All right? The Ritva, in source number 5, asks the same question that all of the Rishonim are asking. He quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, V'rach pirish be'er Shabbos hafilu ba'boker, shahayadarkan shesu'udas halayla hayukovin osah be'erev Shabbos. So he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel in a little bit of a different way from the way the Rashba does. He says that really the issue was that they held their meal on Friday instead of on Shabbos, really. Meaning that the Suda that belonged to Friday night, they had on Erev Shabbos. And then he ends off, Ze aser likboa Suda gedola be'erev Shabbos, mishum kivod Shabbos, kidei sheikonis l'Shabbos kashehu ta'if. It's prohibited to establish a large meal, an extravagant meal on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because we need to have Kavod Shabbos, And the way that we'll have Kavod Shabbos is by entering Shabbos with an appetite. Chavra, what's the difference between the Ramban's first answer and the Ritva? Take a minute. The Ramban's first answer and the Ritva.
To Ramban, as long as it's not something that you consistently do, then there wouldn't be a problem. According to the Ritva, it's like even if it happened once, it wouldn't be allowed because it wouldn't be given cover to Shabbos because it's tied into the appetite.
Beautiful, beautiful, Ilan, beautiful. Now push it further. Hold on, don't go on mute yet. Push it further. Okay, you're correct in the distinction and the facts. Now, what's the difference in terms of the understandings that are rooting those facts?
Well, according to Ramban, it's kavod, something about just the, not necessarily about the appetite, just about the fact that you're going to have something so big and set that usually be happening on Shabbos consistently. That in itself is mezuzas Shabbos versus the ritva that the kavod Shabbos is rooted is it's like the only reason why it affects kavod Shabbos is because of your appetite, but the kavod Shabbos isn't its own entity.
Okay, I'm not sure I understood it fully, but I think you're getting at what I would like to get at, which is as follows. Okay, in the Ramban, as I said before, we're emphasizing the negative. By having a meal every single Friday, that constitutes a zilzal. That's a disgrace. That's a dishonoring of Shabbos. So the problem for the Ramban, the Oser, what prohibits the meal, is it's constituting a disgrace to Shabbos. The Ritva doesn't talk about a negative factor whatsoever. What does the Ritva say? So that he enters Shabbos with an appetite. That's a positive factor. That you should go out of your way to do something to honor the Shabbos by entering with an appetite. So whereas for the Ramban, the problem lies in a negative, in the disgrace. For the Ritva, it lies in the positive, or the lacking of a positive. And that's what leads to their different facts. So for the Ramban, the only issue is going to be if you have the meal every single Friday, because if you have it consistently, that's what constitutes a disgrace. Whereas for the Ritva, even if you only have it once in a blue moon, if it's an extravagant meal, that is fundamentally a problem. Why? Because it strips you of your appetite, and in so doing, prevents you from this positive fulfillment of Kavod Shabbos. That's going to be very important as we get to the Halacha L'maisa Mekoros. Okay. Next, the Rambam. The Rambam is quite complex here. The Rambam Mehilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed Halacha Dalet says as follows. Aser likboa suda umishta be'erev Shabbos mipnei kevod ha-Shabbos. Says the Rambam, that one is not allowed to have a suda umishte on Erev Shabbos because of Kavod HaShabbos. Okay? I want everybody to read the Rambam here with a magnifying glass. Okay? Pay careful attention to every word of the Rambam. Okay? Mepnei Kavod HaShabbos. Umutter lecho velishtos ad shetachshach. But it's mutter to eat and drink until dark. So stop right there even. Okay? Stop right there for now. The Rambam first said that it's aser to be kovei suda. Now he said that it's mutter to eat and drink. What's the difference? What's aser, what's mutter? Ethan.
So I think that you have to be behind the words that he's using. The four words are suda, mishta, lechol, belishtos. So I think maybe one way that we can explain it is that a suda is like a feast. Mishta is like maybe alcoholic beverages. And then lechol is just like eating just like stam food, like shakol. And lishto is maybe just like a soft drink.
Very good. Very good. Now, in addition to that, the Rambam also changes up the verbs that he uses, right? In the Reisha, in the first phrase, he uses likboa, asur likboa sudo mishta, and in the last one, he just uses the eating verb, le'echol, right? So that also contributes to what you're trying to say, that the Reisha, the first phrase, is talking about an extravagant festive meal. So that's like a fixed, established type of meal that is prohibited to be had. But just the derech agav, eating and drinking, kind of, right, en passant, right? Is that, anybody know that from chess? No?
Yeah, it's where you move the pawn, like.
Yeah, so it's like it's on the side, right? It's not the main issue, yeah? So just kind of derech agav, eating and drinking, that would be mutter. Very good, Ethan. Now, v'afal pichein, Brian, I'll get to you in a second. V'afal pichein, even so, nonetheless, mechvod ha-shabbos sheyimna adam min ha-mincha ulamala milikboa se'uda kedei sheyikonis le-shabbos kishahu mis'ave le'echol. Says the Rambam that even so, it is of kavod ha-shabbos, meaning it's a fulfillment of kavod Shabbos, to withhold oneself from mincha and onwards, which is 3:30 and onwards, even though the Gemara at Samach Lemincha, the Rambam has Mina Mincha Lamala, Milikboa Suda, from holding an established meal. Why? So that he enters Shabbos with an appetite. Now, this last phrase is even a little bit more difficult, right? The first phrase is, okay, we can understand, we can reconcile those pretty easily. But in this last one, doesn't it seem just like on the surface, there seems like a tension in the Rambam, right? The very beginning, he said that it's prohibited to be koveya suda on Erev Shabbos. Yeah? And then at the end, he said that it's best, right? It's a fulfillment of kavod Shabbos not to be koveya suda from when? From 3 o'clock and on. Well, which one is it? Is it prohibited throughout the entire day? Or is it only better not to do from 3 o'clock and on? Those are two totally different ideas. Were you guys bothered by that? Yeah, Ethan.
Maybe you could kind of explain that he's kind of pulling a little bit from the Ramban and the Ritva, kind of using the Ritva in the positive aspect, that it's Indian in like Shiach Neshavis Kishutav, but then also pulling from the Ramban, who talked about how like if it's a Pamachas thing, then like it's okay, but the Olam, it's Asur.
Amazing. So I think it's along those lines, maybe not exactly the same, but very much along those conceptual lines. And the Rambam preceded those Rishonim, but nonetheless, he could still have this chiluk. But that's why what I pointed out before, just paying attention to what exactly the conceptual force behind each Rishon's comment is, paying attention to that is very critical. So what Ethan's suggesting is that perhaps in the first line in the Rambam, where he says that being koveya suda throughout all of Friday is aser, maybe there he's talking about a zilzel, something that would cause disgrace to Shabbos. Anything that would cause disgrace to Shabbos, that's going to be aser no matter what, throughout the entire day. But when it comes to a positive fulfillment of having, of kavod Shabbos, of entering Shabbos with an appetite, and thereby honoring the Shabbos by awaiting and anticipating its meal, So that's not going to cause an iser if you withhold from it, but it's better to do because it's a positive fulfillment. And that is what we're talking about in the Seifa, where the Rambam says that it's best not to have a kviya suda from 3 o'clock and onward. So very, very good. I think that's what we're going to get at. So we're going to see the Magid Mishnah in just a moment. But before then, let's take Brian's question. And Jake after that.
What's the exact shear of a suda? Like, okay. I've heard...
We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Jake.
You said for the Rambam that he's saying that, at least for the idea of not being Koveya Suda, that could be the Kavod Shabbos part, and the not in the from the preventing, whatever, that could be from Mitav L'Echol. But in the actual Rambam, doesn't it say, Afal Pikin the Kavod Shabbos, Shiyimne Adam Minchla Milikboa Suda, that because of Kavod Shabbos, you shouldn't be Koveya Suda.
Yeah.
After, but seemingly, the not being Koveya Suda and the in the Seifa, that is referring to also the Kavod HaShabbos before that, no?
Very good. So the Rambam, I think what you're pointing out is that the Rambam does use the same verb in the Reish and the Seifa. Both of them say likboa. But the problem is that it can't mean, it's very hard for it to be referring to the same exact, to the same kviya suda, because it's two totally different dinim. The Reisha said that it's aser the whole day, and the Seifa said that it's best to withhold from 3 o'clock and onward. Right? That's the tension that we're pointing out. So what I was suggesting was that, or Ethan was suggesting, and I agree, is that the beginning, the Reisha, is talking about a Kviya Suda that would cause a Zilzal to Shabbos. The Seifa is talking about a Kviya Suda that would prevent you from a positive fulfillment of Kavod Shabbos. So exactly as you read, it's Ve'af al-Pichein Mechvor HaShabbos She'yimna Ha'adam Min HaMincho L'malam Melekbo HaSuda. Because in the Seifa, what we're talking about is the prevention of a positive fulfillment of Kavod Shabbos. Yeah? Okay, so just to comment on the Rambam a little bit here, let's look at the Magi Mishnah in source number 8. So the Magi Mishnah said as follows, V'nir melashon Rabbeinu, shesuda u'mishta she'ino noig b'yimos ha'chol, aser la'asoso be'erev Shabbos. So Brian, getting to your question about what types of meals are we talking about here, okay? So the Magi Mishnah is adding some meat to that question. So the Magi Mishnah says that what? If we're talking about a meal that's not even like a normal weekday meal, it's even more than that, okay? So like a classic example would be like a wedding, all right? Like a huge meal, yeah? One that's not a normal weekday meal. Says the Magi Mishnah that what the Rambam is saying at the very beginning of the halacha is that is aser la'asoso be'erev Shabbos v'chol ayom b'chlal ha'isur. That is prohibited to do on Friday, and it's prohibited to do throughout the entire day. I don't care, before mincha, after mincha, doesn't matter, the entire day is aser. So if we're talking about a huge, extravagant, real, you know, real deal meal, that's going to be aser throughout the entire day. V'ochiach kein, where do you get that from? Says the Magi Mishnah, remember the Gittin. Oh, that's how the Rambam resolves the stira. That the Gemara in Gittin was talking about a huge meal. And that's going to be aser throughout the entire day. Oh. V'lecho v'lishtos below kviya suda, afilu suda sharagi b'chol, kol ayom muter lahaskil. To just eat and drink, you know, a little bit, even, you know, to have a normal weekday meal, okay, a normal weekday meal. I don't know what you had for dinner tonight, but whatever you had for dinner tonight, if that was a normal weekday meal, so you can have that throughout the entire day on Friday, says the Rambam. U'mevuarchin, b'perek arvi p'sachim u'chrab yosi. That's our Gemara, that's our sugya. That's what the Gemara p'sachim says. But then the Rambam adds, Vilik boa suda shenohag ba b'chol. But to have that normal weekday meal on Friday, mitzvah lihimana mitesha sha'us ulamala. There's a mitzvah, there's a positive kiyum to withhold from that from 3 o'clock and onwards. Why? Lefisha savu rabbeinu de'af agav de'kaimel on krab yosi da'amar ochav olechad shetechshach. Because even though we hold like Rabbi Yossi that one is allowed to eat until Shabbos, da'inu davka below kviyos suda, keinir li da'as rabbeinu v'nachunhu. That's davka without a kviyos suda. So what comes out of the Rambam is a hierarchy. Okay, so let's plot out the hierarchy. If we're dealing with a huge, extravagant meal, that's going to be usher throughout the entire day of Friday. If we're dealing with a normal weekday meal, so me'ikar hadin, that's mutter throughout the whole day, but it's best to withhold from that from 3 o'clock and onwards. And if we're talking about just some eating and drinking, even less than a kviyus suda, not even a kviyus, there's no it's not in an established way, you're not sitting down to a set meal, but you're just having a snack, that's mutter legamre. That you don't even have to withhold from. Those are the three rungs in the hierarchy in the Rambam. Now, what I'd like to suggest, and I believe that some Achronim suggest this as well, is that perhaps exactly like what Ethan said before, and I think I said this before, but I just want to repeat it now that we have all the information. When it comes to an extravagant meal, why is that aser the whole day, guys? Why is that aser the whole day? Because what are you doing when you have that huge meal on Friday?
Those are Shabbos.
Exactly, Ethan. That's mizalzel. That disgraces Shabbos. By having a huge meal before Shabbos, that's basically lessening the kavod of Shabbos. Oh. When you have a normal weekday meal past 3 o'clock, what are you doing? You're preventing yourself from the positive kiyum of kavod Shabbos. Me'ikar hadin, that's mutter, because we passing like Rabbi Yossi. But really, it's better to do that so that you fulfill that mitzvah. Yeah, Moshe.
But, so you're saying the second part of the Rambam would be Ar Gemara M'sachim, right?
Yeah.
But then why is it, I mean, you brought it up, but why is it Mina Mincha and not something?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a difficulty. Not sure. Okay? It's not me, though. The Magen Mishnah thought that the Rambam was based on the Gemara Pesach. Right?
Magen Mishnah says Samach or from Mincha?
He says from Mincha, Nan. He says Tisha Shos. 9 hours, 3 o'clock. Uh-huh. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That is Samach the Mincha. So you see the Magen Mishnah. Right. Magen Mishnah interpreted the Rambam really in light of our Girsa. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. Now, very quickly, let's get to some nafka mina between the different approaches. Okay, so in the Sefer Tosef HaShabbos, he brings down some nafka mina between Rabbeinu Hananel's approach that the reason to not have a meal on or the basis to not have a meal on Friday, the Gemara in Gittin, is so that you're not distracted from preparations for Shabbos. That's one approach, and then there's another approach that we saw in the Ritva. And perhaps as a lechatchila in the Rambam, that one shouldn't have a meal past 3 o'clock so that he has an appetite going into Shabbos. What are the differences between those meals? So the Tosef HaShabbos says very, very succinctly, very, you know, in a punchy way, what about if you have someone who's going to take care of your preparations? Let's say you're not doing the preparations yourself. Someone else is doing it. Some other family member is doing it. You hired someone to do it. Getting takeout, whatever it is, you don't have your preparations. They're being done for you. Should you be allowed then to have a meal on Friday? So what do you think? Very simple. New?
Depends what type of meal it is.
No, it depends on the reasoning. You go through it, right? We said before, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, what's the reasoning according to Rabbeinu Hananel quoted in the Rashba why you can't have a meal on Friday? Yeah, so if you have someone taking care of it for you, then does that apply?
No, seemingly not.
So exactly.
Situation could have a suit of any size.
Yeah, good, good. But what about if you hold of the reasoning that you have to go into Shabbos with an appetite?
Well, no.
Doesn't matter if someone takes care of the preparations for you. Exactly. It's a litmus test, right? You have to test the case according to the reasoning for the prohibition. Ilan, I'll get to you in a second. Another case, he says, very interesting. He discusses this case. Mishu b'derech v'dayto lavaloviso kodem Shabbos ein bo iser. So let's say you're on the road. Okay, you're taking a trip. Yeah, can you have a suda on your trip if you intend to come home before Shabbos? So he says, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, there should be no problem because when you come home before Shabbos, you'll do all of your preparations. Right now, you can't do your preparations because you're not at home, right? So there shouldn't be any problem to have a suda, because there's nothing that it's distracting you from. You can't do the preparations. But according to the other reasoning, that you should have an appetite going into Shabbos, so then you certainly should not have the suda even while you're on the road, because it's still going to take away your appetite going into Shabbos. So that would be another nafka mina between two of the reasons. Ilan.
For the nafka mina, like if you pay someone to deal with your Shabbos preparation, it's a big mitzvah to be involved in Shabbos preparations.
Oh, yeah. So the Yeah. So the Gemara, right, the mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho, the Gemara has in Kiddushin, right, and it describes how the Amoraim used to cook up their own food on Friday. So the Tosafot Shabbos notes that this is true on condition that you do some preparation for Shabbos. Yeah. Very good. Okay, we're running out of time. I apologize. So halacha lemaisa. Let's get to source number 10. Everybody inside in source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch very much like the Rambam, but with he adds in a little bit. I'm sorry, give me one minute. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch. Also, like you're not allowed to have a meal that's a meal that you wouldn't normally have during the week. That's exactly like what we saw in the Magid Mishnah. Va'afilu hi sudas erusin, even if it's a suda for engagement. Mipnei kvod haShabbos sheyikanis leShabbos kashu ta'iv leechol v'chol ayom v'chlal lo isur. Ah, so here is where the Shulchan Aruch adds in a little bit and veers from the pshat that we wanted to give in the Rambam. Because what does the Shulchan Aruch say, guys? Pay careful attention to the words. He says, why are you not allowed to have a large, huge, extravagant meal throughout the entire day on Friday? Why not? Yeah. What factor is that? Is that the positive factor or the negative factor?
Positive one.
Exactly. So that's not like what we wanted to say in the Rambam. And if you look at the Bir Halacha in source number 12, he points out that you could say otherwise. He quotes from the Prima Gadim that you don't have to ascribe this to the positive factor. You could ascribe it to the negative factor that you shouldn't be Mizalzel Shabbos. Oh, geschmack, right? So what I want to point out further, okay? So again, Brian. Yeah, I see you look a little confused. Okay? So I want to let's go over this again. Zaiter. Yeah? Nu. Says the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. And within the understanding of the Magid Mishnah, that a huge, extravagant meal you cannot have throughout the entire day on Friday. The question is why? Okay? One approach is to say that because by having that meal, you're going to cause a disgrace to Shabbos. It's a negative. That's what the Prima Gadim says. That's what we suggested when we first read the Rambam. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say like that. Shulchan Aruch quotes the positive factor. K'dishikanis l'Shabbos k'shutoiv l'echol. So you have an appetite when you go into Shabbos. That's the positive factor. Okay? Now, the reason why that's significant is because it sheds light on our understanding of the Nekudas HaMachlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And here we come full circle, Chevra. Last year, we spent a long time trying to analyze the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Yeah? Now, if, according to the Shulchan Aruch, remember, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, yeah? Remember, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So what is the Shulchan Aruch's reasoning for the Isser show us about Rabbi Yossi? It shows us that fundamentally Rabbi Yossi agrees with the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda prohibit a meal from 3 o'clock and onwards on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif? What does the Gemara say? K'dei sheyikanes l'Shabbos k'shu tova. Now in the Shulchan Aruch, what are we saying within the perspective of Rabbi Yossi? We're saying that we hold of that very same reasoning. That you should have an appetite going into Shabbos. So then guys, if everybody agrees to the reasoning, then what's the machlokas? What's the debate? Elamai, it must be that the debate is solely a quantitative one. It's how much of a concern do we have that you won't have an appetite going into Shabbos? So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I'm going to aser from 3 o'clock and onwards to ensure that you have that appetite. Right? No matter what the meal is. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, I'm not going to go that far. I'm just going to aser a huge meal that's going to take away your appetite. Okay, so this reasoning of the Shulchan Aruch ends up becoming very significant for our understanding of the Machlokas. And that's why it's not only, of course, it's significant Halacha Lemaisa, but what the Shulchan Aruch adds in is conceptually significant as well. Yeah. Moshe.
So, according to, meaning, why is it a mitzvah then to hold back? Is that, are we taking into account Rabbi Yehuda, or would Rabbi Yossi still agree with that?
Okay, oh, very good. So that's let me come back there. Let me just read the end of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, V'lechol v'lishlos blik v'yasuda, afilu suda sharagil ba'bechol, kol ayom muter lahaskil menadin. You're allowed to start a meal. Avol mitzvah lihimana melikboa suda shenahug ba'bechol mitesha shalosul lemala. But there's a mitzvah to withhold from k'viyasuda from 3 o'clock and onwards. Oh. So, what would seem to be the case is that from 3 o'clock and onwards, it's a lesser concern for there not being an appetite. By having a huge meal early on in the day, that's a surefire prevention of appetite. By having a regular meal even after 3 o'clock, Rabbi Yossi holds that's not like a surefire idea. So it's not going to automatically take away your appetite, but it's a mitzvah to withhold from it as a positive expression of Kavod Shabbos. Yeah? Okay. Now, just one point, halacha lemaisa. So the Bir Halacha says, what does the Shulchan Aruch say when he says, milik bo asuda, that you shouldn't be kovei asuda from 3 o'clock and onwards on Friday? He says, haynu le'echol pas kedei svia kerigiluso bechol. To have a bread meal that satiates you, that is the same type of meal that you would have during the week. So that is what one should abstain from 3 o'clock and onwards. He shouldn't have a bread meal that's going to satiate him. Before 3 o'clock, as long as it's just a normal weekday meal, that would be totally fine. After 3 o'clock, one should abstain from that. But even after 3 o'clock, one is totally allowed to have food and drink, a blok via suda, when he's not sitting down to like an established meal. Right, so to go to have like an established meal at the pizza store after 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, or it's based on the Shavuos Manios, so I'm just using the perfect day, 6 to 6 day. But after 9 hours into the day, that you should abstain from. But to have it earlier on in the day, first of all, is fine. And also to have something, you know, on the go without a kviya suda, that would also be totally fine even after 9 hours into the day. Okay, so that is our analysis for the sugya of the Isser Achil and Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. Bez Hashem, next week, we will continue with our sugyos in Arvei Pesachim. I wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova.